What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's Father's Day this weekend. Not a giant holiday, but a nice one. A moment to think of Dad. So we are. And you know what? It hasn't been easy lately. Unemployment has hit men hardest, and a lot of dads with jobs wondering how solid they are, working all kinds of hours, wondering if they're able to be as solid at fathering as their own dads were. This hour on Point, Fatherhood in Tough Times. You can join the conversation. Dads, can you father up when the economy's down, when the job's gone or shaky? Moms, kids, how's Dad doing? Is he there with what you need? You can comment at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me first today from New York is Jim Axelrod, national correspondent and former chief White House correspondent for CBS News. Jim is author of In the Long Run, A Father, A Son, and Unintentional Lessons in Happiness. Jim, terrific to have you with us today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Great to be with you, Tom. Thanks for having me.
Also joining us from Loudonville, New York, is sociologist Donald Levy, director of the Siena College Research Institute. Donald Levy, welcome back to On Point.
Great to be with you, Tom. Thanks.
And finally, Robert Heasley joins us, president of the American Men's Studies Association, professor of sociology at Indiana University of Pennsylvania. Robert Heasley, thanks very much for being with us.
Hey, thanks for inviting me, Tom.
Okay, Jim, we've got you in between two sociologists here, so you're going to have to step up. You're going to have to step up in a big way, Jim.
Danger.
Yeah, but Jim,
I'll use the big syllable words.
Okay, yeah, you multisyllabic. But we wanted to get you in here, Jim, because you've been writing so recently and thinking at depth about this sort of dialogue over time between father and son, grown son who's now a father himself. You're writing in your book, In the Long Run, about, in your case, a very literal kind of comparison. Your dad in his mid-40s, when everything was going on in his life, ran the marathon in New York, got a certain time, and you thought, well, can I make that time? Can I get my life together enough to do something like that? But you were doing it, Jim, as a lot of American fathers are these days, in a time when it's not the golden years of the American economy at the moment. And you write in your book that the ice beneath your feet was feeling kind of thin. I mean, what about what fathers are shoving off from these days, Jim, when they try to step up and be good dads?
Well, you know, I think most men don't examine how they're doing when things are going well, right? We only examine things when we hit a brick wall. We learn more from failure than we do from our triumphs. And so as I began to run into a little bit of career difficulty, like so many men, it forces you to recalibrate, but you only examine these things when you hit the difficulty. So my question was, hey, I've been investing so much of myself in this professional realm. How am I doing in the personal realm? You only start looking around once the ice starts cracking. You look for a lifeboat. So there's your wife and kids who you may have been taking for granted while you were sort of reaching for the next rung of the career ladder. And now you're grasping and thinking, oh, my goodness, what have I been doing? The life I intended to live and the life I'm living, there's a huge gap there. And in that gap, I think, resides the potential for great unhappiness, Tom.
Donald Levy, that pause to consider what's going on must be one that's hit a lot of American fathers in these past few years. I mean, you just look at the unemployment figures, and let us acknowledge straight up and very clearly, there are tons of working moms and working women out there these days. We all know that. But hey, it's Father's Day this Sunday. Let's look at dads. And the unemployment, it's been called a man-session recession, because unemployment has been markedly higher for men. Lots of the jobs that have been lost on Levy, jobs that men have traditionally and even currently tend to hold. You know, what does that do to the psychology of a father when it's hard to be, even though they're sharing the burden very often with women these days, still there's that kind of cultural expectation that they'll be the rock, the kind of steady hand in the family, and suddenly that career, that job, that income may not be there at all, Donald.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we interview men all the time about how they feel within this economy. And let's face it, despite all the progress that we've made, men still tend to define themselves in terms of this good provider role, that they measure themselves on how well am I doing in my career, how well am I doing providing for my family. And right now, for many men, that's, as you point out, extremely threatened to the point where some men don't feel as though they can successfully hold a job. They don't feel as though they measure up as well as not necessarily their partner is asking them to measure up, perhaps, but how they themselves are measuring up, or perhaps how well they measure up compared to what, you know, their dad may have expected from them, or what standing they have perhaps with their children. So the men in that sort of middle generation who are, you know, still seeing themselves as by necessity being a good provider are facing some really difficult times right now.
Robert Heasley, you're a practicing therapist in addition to being a sociologist, and you work with fathers and families. Got an organization there called Building Bridges in Media, Pennsylvania. What are you hearing in those sessions, Robert, about how the current economy may be leaking into the fathering role in relationships?
Well, yeah, I'm picking up on what Jim was saying earlier in terms of that reflection of our fathering role, or, you know, our being doesn't often come up for us until we're having a hard time, until things are stressful and our wife is saying, where are you? You know, what's going on with you? And what I think, you know, is affecting families in all of this is, in terms of fathers, is sort of that sense that as men we want to be able to fill those roles that Don was talking about, be able to be the provider, even though that's not as necessary as it was, you know, in a generation before us, because women are joining that effort. But we're also not as comfortable not being in that role and not having a significant identity around our work. And it's that loss of identity that causes us to, at times, to withdraw, to act out sort of with depression, to feel like we're not of use to our family. And the other piece of that is that we often don't feel as comfortable in alternative roles. You know, we're not just fathers as providers. If we can feel as comfortable being fathers as integrated, intimate members of this family system that have lots of opportunities to parent in lots of different ways besides providing, then we can sort of say, oh, I'm desperate around job issues, I'm anxious about that, but I have lots of other things I'm doing in the family that gives me legitimacy, that gives me satisfaction. And for fathers that I'm seeing, families that are struggling, I'm seeing that those fathers that are struggling the most are ones that don't feel like they have as many contributions to make outside of the provider role.
So look at all the parts of what fathering means, and bravo for that. We've got a lot of response online already. Phyllis says on Facebook, being a good parent is not about how much money you have. It is about kindness and patience and caring. And bravo to that. But Jim Axelrod, I mean, we've all seen the pictures, you know, of the job fairs on TV. You and other networks have reported again and again in these recent years. And you see a great giant hall full of women and lots of men with their briefcase all dressed up, standing at tables, you know, applying for jobs that very few of them are going to get. You've got a great job, but you've been in an industry, television news, that's seen lots of cutbacks and financial stress. I mean, when that paycheck is gone or that uncertainty is there underneath that breadwinner role, Jim, you know, it can really affect the way fathers look at all those other important facets of the role. It can get in the way.
Absolutely. I mean, the first thing I think fathers do is define themselves by how well they're discharging their obligations. I mean, that's just that's in the genes. But, you know, it's not an original thought. But how many times have you heard men say, hey, look, at the end of my life, is there going to be a boss or a colleague in the hospital room,
mm-hmm.
or am I going to have my wife and kids? And yet people, men, fathers, very often don't live their life in accordance with that understanding, that premise that it's your family that is the sustenance, that is the sustaining cloth in your life that you need to wrap around you. So you're standing online for a job fair in addition to, hey, I've got to be able to find a way to take care of my basic obligations. There's this gnawing feeling of, oh my goodness, here I was absolutely pursuing this part of my life, this realm of my life, mm-hmm. and now it turns out it was quicksand. And here I am trying to figure out a way to not only discharge my basic obligations, but what have I done to the other part of the equation?
Yeah. We've got callers lighting up already. Let's bring in Spencer here. Spencer, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What's your story? Hello, Spencer. Are you there, my friend? Oh, Miss Spencer. Let's see if we can go to Doug in Idaho Falls, Idaho. Doug, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Growing up, Ben, so I had a chance to see several different parenting styles and a lot to draw on that way. And to me, that was the main thing, is setting an example for what you should be and what a dad should be in a home.
And, Doug, what business are you in?
I do tile and stone.
And so construction, how is it? How's it going out there?
It is pretty tough right now. I'm finding work, but I'm finding it at about a third the price of what I have been doing the last few years. And so I got to drive a lot more miles, work a lot more hours to try to provide for my family.
Does it get in the way of you being a father, a good father?
It does. In a lot of aspects, mostly my relationship with my wife, because I'm gone so much. My kids, I have two boys left at home, and they can come with me to work, which is a big help. And so I do get to spend, you know, a little bit more time with them, but it definitely puts a strain on my relationship with my wife.
Yeah, and so she's got extra load to bear as well. Doug, I appreciate your call from Idaho Falls. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook, this is On Point, and we're talking today about fatherhood in tough economic times, being a good father when it's not easy to be the rock, the steady hand, the provider. Jim Axelrod is with us, national correspondent for CBS News, author of In the Long Run. Donald Levy's here, sociologist who's paid a lot of attention to men and men's issues. Robert Beasley's here, president of the American Men's Studies Association at Indiana University in Pennsylvania. I want to listen back to a little bit of sound of what fatherhood maybe once sounded like, what it once meant. Popular TV show My Three Sons, starring Fred McMurray, ran from 1960 to 1972, a long run. McMurray played a widowed father raising his three boys alone, and in those days, that idea was unusual enough to be kind of funny just as a premise. He was the paragon of an earlier era's father. Here, his youngest son, Chip, comes home with a black eye.
Where'd you get it, Chip?
Would you believe it if I told you I walked into a door?
You, wouldn't expect me to believe that, would you, Chip?
No.
You've been fighting, huh?
Yes, sir.
You know how I feel about fighting, don't you?
It's not the gentlemanly thing to do.
That's right. There are many ways of settling differences without using your fists.
Yeah, the father hands out the philosophy there, and he's large and in charge. Now, fast forward, 2010 episode of ABC's The Middle. Husband and father Mike Heck loses his job at a quarry, has to break the news to his family. Here's actor Neil Flynn as Mike Heck, reassuring his wife Frankie, played by Patricia Heaton.
We can't afford you being out of work right now. What are you going to do?
Well, I thought I might travel a little bit, bike around Europe. What do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to find another job. I got a lot of skills. I'm not worried.
Okay. And I'm not either.
The ironic father there, but of course everybody's worried when that happens. We've got lots of response online here. Father says, working full-time, overnight, schooling, working out finances, bills, leaves me so little time during the day to be there 100% for my 2-year-old. I try to take a breath and do what I can to be there for her and my wife. Brian says, being underemployed, making less money than my wife, working longer hours, put stress on our relationship, but I try to be the best dad I can to my boys. Let's get Spencer in Lexington, Massachusetts on the air here. Spencer, thanks for calling. You're on. What do you know, Spencer?
So my dad is a financial turnaround consultant, and he's always been the breadwinner for my family.
Mm-hmm.
But over the last month or so, he's been in a transitional job period. His work is sort of winding down, and it creates a lot of stress for our family in the fact that we aren't quite sure what we're doing. And he's searching for another job at the moment, but it's a difficult situation to be in. especially as a kid. I just got home from college, and it puts a lot of strain in the relationships between us.
So is it sort of messing with your sense, Spencer, of what your father is, who your father is? Do you feel sympathy, or do you feel, you know, unmoored?
I mean, I feel a lot of sympathy because he's always provided well for our family, and I hope, at least, that he will be able to get back on track and find another job. But it's still, you know, it's a little worrying because he is, you know, the father. He's the guy who makes the money for the family, and having him be in this sort of economic situation at the moment is putting a lot of strain on our relationship.
Spencer, we're going to look at that and see if we've got some advice in that quarter, and I appreciate your call. Let me get one more right here, if I may. Jim's calling. Hi, Jim. Thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What do you know?
I'm in Medford, Massachusetts, 40 years old. Had a full-time job, been unemployed now for 2 days. And for the last 9 months, I had been commuting down to New Jersey, up early, 3:30 in the morning on Monday, coming back Thursday night. For a good job in a marketing department in high tech for a pharma company.
Yeah.
And so, you know, unemployment's new to me.
And you're a dad. How's it feel to be facing that? Not just as a guy who needs a career, but as a father who needs the income.
Well, I tell you, it's a double-edged thing, right? It feels great on one hand because I'm around my wife and my kids a lot more after having been gone for so long. Long to me, 9 months. But being back at home, it feels really good. It's more stable as a family. We were able to save up a little bit of money, so I'm hoping to interview and then get a job in the fall. But in the meantime, I see all sorts of opportunity just to take a break, to recharge the batteries. I'm building a treehouse for the kids, starting to do some painting, which I never had time for before, and hoping that everything works out so in the fall we'll be able to start fresh.
There's the upside, and we hope it happens for you just that quickly. But there's 2 days unemployed, and looking out on that horizon as a father coming on Father's Day. One more, and we'll go to our guest, Steve, in Englewood, New Jersey. Steve, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I got laid off. It's been 2 years ago. I was a math teacher, and since then, I've taken over all of the cooking and cleaning and shopping and getting the kids to where they need to be and keeping my wife's schedule and just all that sort of thing that needs to be done. And when I get down about the fact that I'm not employed and feeling that instinct that I should be the breadwinner, my wife reminds me of all the stuff that I'm doing, all of the background things that I'm taking care of, and it really does help that I'm able to, grab onto those things that I am taking care of at home.
So on balance, what do you think? Does it leave you a better father, that layoff, or can you have it both ways? You know, income gone, but more time, where's the needle stand in that formula?
Yeah, I actually feel fortunate in some ways that I'm able to spend as much time with my young daughters. I'm working with my 5-year-old on how to read. I'm working with my 9-year-old on science projects and her difficulties in math. And yes, it's difficult to not have the income, but I think that there are some benefits that I had never counted on.
Steve, I appreciate your call as well. Let's pick these up, Jim, Donald, Robert. I mean, you've got their fathers saying, maybe I can take advantage of this, do more with it. On the other hand, looking at that economy and the challenges, here's a young listener online. Jeff says, the idea of being a father in today's economy feels impossible. He writes, I'm a 27-year-old male with no kids, and I've had a vasectomy to keep it that way. It's tough enough trying to provide for yourself and your own health care, let alone to provide for a child. The baby boom, he says, as in the party, I guess, is over. Jim Axelrod, jump in here. Young Jeff has just snipped away that path.
Yeah, let's keep our heads here for a second, Tom, because I really think there's some linkage that we need to examine. And Spencer raised this, and then Steve in the last call also, that just because you face economic difficulty, and this is not to minimize the challenges and the stress that this introduces into a family unit, but that is not a linear equation. I'm having financial difficulty, ergo I become a lousy dad. That it is very important. The kids are always watching and they take their signals and can learn just as much from a dad in terms of how he faces adversity. If adversity reveals character, they're watching the old man. And the way he stares down difficulty can provide very important lessons for a kid. So you hear Steve talking about all the things he's picked up in his house while he is looking for work to make the house function. If you think the kids are missing that, then you really don't know anything about the way a family unit functions. Their eyes are constantly peeled. So this can actually become almost a teachable moment in terms of the way you conduct yourself as a man. You may be redefining your definition of man, but because in your own sense, your own self-image, you're not the breadwinner. But the way you handle a challenging situation may become some of the most important lessons you can teach your kids, and they'll take with them the rest of their lives.
I guess there's no question about that, and there's no shortage of adversity now. So kids, plenty of lessons for them to take on board. At the same time, Donald Levy, this is not light adversity. We've got more long-term employment than we've had, I don't know, maybe ever in this country. You know, father's just up against that wall. What about dads in adversity and what that hands down to kids?
Well, I think that your guest highlighted a lot of those. You know, if you think about it in one way, you know, these dads that we're talking about have pressures in four different directions, or they have four different directions in which they're trying to be successful. They want to be successful, as you point out, with their job, with their ability to have a career, to provide for their family. They also want to be successful, as many of your callers point out, with their kids and being an effective father. You know, we don't get the chance to be as wise, perhaps, as Fred McMurray, but as Jim points out, to extend wisdom in other ways by what we do. We also, you know, a third area is your relationship with your life partner, you know, with your wife, with your partner. You know, that's another area that all these dads want to be successful in. And finally, as another one of your callers pointed out, we want to be successful in terms of our self-actualization, pursuing our education, you know, our dreams, our goals. So you have those four areas that these dads are simultaneously, they're in the middle of all these areas at the same time. And unfortunately, many of these, you know, your callers point out, and I think what you're pointing out, is that job element can become number one, you know, and can prevent a dad from realizing how important it is to help their 5-year-old daughter learn how to read, or to extend support to their wife who has a better career. When that dad has that 1,000-pound weight of I got to be successful in my career weighing on him, you know, that can stand in the way of all these other aspects, which are truly wonderful about fathering. And as you point out, this is a tough economy, and many, many dads are just going to have to face the reality that everybody's not going to have that wonderfully successful career in this economic marketplace.
Easy to say, hard to do, got to be successful. That pressure has no doubt always been there. Jim Axelrod, you write about that pressure with your dad in the long run. But now it's not just to be successful, Robert Heasley. It's just to have a job, bring the income home, or have a job that brings self-respect. Let's circle back, if we might, Professor Heasley, to young Spencer calling in. His dad, you know, facing life without the job, or for a while, without the career he's had. Here's 18-year-old Spencer and his family looking at that. How can families be helpful? What's the posture that's going to be most, I don't know, supportive and helpful to the dad when he's in that situation these days, Professor Heasley?
It was great. I was listening to Spencer talk and aware of how the loss of his dad's stability and economic stability destabilizes the whole family. No one feels secure because part of the player, one of the major players in the family, isn't able to function at the same level or is able to provide at the same level. So it is unnerving, and I think when there is a job loss or some income drawdown in some ways, what happens is that everybody gets scared. You know, we're used to this. And I think that the response is really one of thinking about it as a team at work. It's oftentimes families divide up roles in relationships. Okay, dad's going to do this, mom's going to do this, the kid's going to do this. And to see it as a collective, you know, that the father has a stressful time right now. How can I be of help to him? How can I adjust to changing my expectations of what he's going to be able to provide and really find out what he needs from me in order for him to be able to get the support he needs to move forward? Rather than, you know, I was listening to that tape you were playing from the TV show, And the mother and the wife says, well, what are you going to do now
yeah.
that her husband's lost the job? And I'm thinking, I would rather hear her say, how can I be of help? How can I adjust to this new situation with you? And how, as a family, can we sort of enter into an evaluation of how we can be resources? And I think that that's maybe even going into marriages and into relationships, if we think about it that way, rather than saying, I'm the husband, this is my role, you're the wife, this is yours, and saying, okay, we're in this together, we've got to have income, we've got to have raise kids, we've got to do good deeds in the world, we've got to have a meaningful life, how can we think about it together, and how can we support each other in that process? And it sets us up, I think, for being able to transition and go through tough times in a much better way, as Jim was saying in his comments, but also the other callers who talked about building playhouses for their kids or being able to take on different roles in the house that they hadn't taken on before. Those are really good ways of thinking about how we are able as human beings to adjust and change and adapt.
To look at it as a team challenge when the economy takes its bite. Let's get a call from Dana in Salt Lake City, Utah. Dana, thanks very much for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was wanting to make a point. We're a combined family, and I had five children, three that were still living at home, and my husband had full custody of his two children also at home. So he's was not only pressured with raising his children suddenly as a single father, but taking on the responsibility of mine as well. And we are self-employed, and of course this economy, our business is way, way down. And he's always been a very good provider, he's a very good saver and everything. But one thing I've noticed is that he does react very stressful in situations right really quickly, you know, loses his composure and things, and I've kind of noticed in our sons that they are completely opposite. They're lazy, and they're like, hey, whatever, dude, it's all good, you know. And in one of our confrontations with the sons, we were wondering why he's just not he's not motivated, because his father is just such a over responsible, never lets a minute go by without producing. And they said, you know, I don't want to be like you. You're too stressed. You don't have any time for fun, and you know, all I see you guys doing is work, and I don't want to be like that.
Wow. Dana, I appreciate your call from Salt Lake City. Jim Axelrod, I mean, it's not always going to be like in the movies or in a Fred McMurray television show here. You know, there's the other reaction. Dad's stressed, and the kids say, I don't want any part of that.
You know, Tom, it does get back to the same thing, though. How many fathers have a working definition of success when it comes to what kind of parent they're being? So maybe that's not a bad Father's Day exercise to actually try to figure out what are the component parts of success as a father, and are you loaded up the wrong way? Are you invested too much in one of your component parts? Because it seems to me, and that's what I write about in this book, is this notion of, hey, you know what? Here I am with this sort of nebulous, amorphous sense of I want to be a good father. But I've really never taken 2 minutes to think about what does that mean and what part of me is invested in the traditional provider role. What part of me is making sure that by example I'm showing my kids sort of what a good life is, how to treat a mate, how to parent. What part of me is making sure that I'm a happy guy, that I have some sense of well-being about me, because my kids need to see that as well. So maybe not a bad idea as the Father's Day approaches for people to actually take a moment and define for themselves what is it to be a good father.
Always good to do. Take away the paycheck, take away the job. Everything gets a little harder. May focus in a good way, maybe a rough way. Jim Axelrod, author of In the Long Run, Please Stand By, Donald Levy, Robert Heasley. We're talking about fatherhood in tough economic times this hour. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back.
My dad saying work that job, but don't work your life away. And mama telling me to drive some cash in the offering plate on Sunday. And granddad saying you can have a few, but don't ever cross that line. Yeah, I hear voices all the time.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point, and we're talking today about fatherhood in tough economic times, being a good father. when it's not easy to be the rock, the steady hand. Father's Day coming up this weekend, and tough economy in this country. Many people out of work for a long time, uncertain about the jobs they have. Donald Levy joins us from the Siena College Research Institute. Robert Heasley is with us from Indiana University in Pennsylvania. And Jim Axelrod is here, national correspondent for CBS News, author of In the Long Run, A Father, A Son, and Unintentional Lessons in Happiness. I want to get a little bit more of that Fred McMurray, just to compare back to what it was like when there were different assumptions about the economy and dad's security in the job. A little bit more. Here's his family from My Three Sons at the breakfast table as the boys unexpectedly get a lesson from rock steady moral compass dad.
There's that creepy girl that just moved in across the street. Boy, what a weirdo.
Yeah, and so's that clunky brother of hers.
Robbie, what did this new girl across the street do to you?
It's not what she did so much as the way she acted, Dad. Like she was queen of the city dump or something.
In other words, she didn't do anything. It's just that you don't like her. I don't know what's happened to you two fellas. All I know is that you hate two complete strangers, and I'll bet neither one of you can give me a good reason why. Well, whatever it is, the Douglas tribe doesn't go around with a perpetual chip on its shoulders. Basing dislikes on first impressions is ridiculous. Well, I don't want to hear any more about you fellas hating the children across the street. Do I make myself clear?
Okay, Dad.
Okay. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Boy, there's Dad laying it down from on high back in the day, Fred McMurray in My Three Sons. Let's go to Jim in Norfolk, Virginia. Jim, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Yeah, hey, Tom.
Hi, what do you know?
I was just making a comment about, I was listening to the show, and my kids, since I don't have the job that I used to have that provided them with better things, you know, sometimes I lose their respect because they were used to getting them $100 stickers and all other type of expensive things that I would buy them every now and then.
Yep.
As a reward, but now since it's not like that, they don't seem to understand that I have to work harder to try to maintain the rent and food and everything. You know, I mean, I don't have custody of them right now, but it may seem like that. They maybe feel like that I'm not as successful anymore to them, but I still have to provide. That's a success as long as I'm able to do that, but you know, kids just don't seem to understand that.
No, I absolutely understand that, Jim, and I'm sure many, many men across this country feel the same thing. I mean, Jim Axelrod, you say, you know, show them what it's like in adversity, and yet part of sort of getting the respect of the family as a father is to be that provider. And if you can't do it, you can't lay on that extra thing now and then, you know, as our caller's saying there, it just may be hard to feel that you're succeeding in the role or be seen that way sometimes by the kids.
You know, we're listening to Fred McMurray dispense this classic advice from the mountaintop, but The reality is, in what we're hearing from the callers, you know, this notion that it's hard to remember when you're up to your backside in alligators that the objective was to drain the swamp, and that there are so many concerns that are so overwhelming to so many men right now about the things that Jim's talking about that you forget, you know, you're in no position to dispense sort of the lessons of life in the way that we hear, you know, Fred McMurray. But that was another generation. Mm-hmm. And I do think, Tom, that a generation of men that are fathering now were raised by men who came along at a very specific time in our nation's economic history.
Yes.
Where there were a certain number, the salaries kept going up, home values kept going up. You know, there was this long period of prosperity in the 60s and the 70s that sort of set our expectations. So many men today are just products of sort of what we absorbed looking at our fathers. And so our own sense of expectation is something that we're dealing with in terms of frustration. And it's one of the biggest impediments with being a good father is trying to deal with your own sense of frustration that somehow it's not turning out the way you thought it would.
Don Levy, that provider role and the kind of Fred McMurray pipe smoke and all the rest, that's going to be back there a while now. But still, we've got listeners writing in and saying, you know, without that, it's hard to know exactly how to handle this. Here's Barron, and he writes, a big problem is that a man is never seen as okay just being a good person. A man has to be providing, creating, expanding, etc. Any wonder that a lot of guys go bonkers when they lose their job? Women, Barron writes, have a universal motherhood idea to tap into. We don't have, he writes, a sense of fatherhood that is seen as anything near as primally driven or considered as important by society. What about it, Professor Levy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, oftentimes when I'm teaching a class, I'll turn to the students and I'll, you know, there's men in the class, there's women in the class, and I'll say, how many of you plan to get married and have kids? And almost every single one of them raised their hand. And then I say, well, who's going to end up sacrificing their career in order to bring up those kids? And many of the women, not all, but many of the women say, I'll do that. Very, very few of the men do. So that good provider role that we've been talking about, you're absolutely right, has not gone away. You know, and another consideration that I think that the men who are fathers today face, and we haven't talked a whole lot about the kids. Your last caller talked a little bit about it when he talked about those $100 sneakers.
Yep.
There are some cultural expectations and some cultural processes that have turned our young people into these ardent consumers who have tremendous expectations about what sort of products they're going to consume, and those expectations have been furthered by all the businesses who are selling those $100 sneakers to our young people, and they're looking at dad, in many cases, not as a human being who has needs and wants, but as somebody who's going to make it very possible for them to own those $100 sneakers. So there are pressures coming in so many directions on these dads, this lingering good provider role, and some really very, very adamant expectations that are coming at them from members of their family.
Robert Heasley, I wonder if the famous, infamous American income gap has made this tougher. I mean, go back to Fred McMurray again. You've got this middle-class country, middle-class pride. Keeping up with the Joneses was not keeping up with, you know, Wall Street barons. Now you've got them with a whole lot and them with not much or maybe no job at all. But yet a lot of media images and expectations are created by the lifestyle available to those at the top.
You know, Tom, in years and years of working with men in running groups and men in therapy, I've never had a guy talk about struggles with his father because he didn't get tennis shoes. Males who's growing, kids that grow up in their father's and mother's households struggle because their father's distant, not engaged, not involved, not providing moral leadership, not providing some values leadership, not being intimate, connected to them. You know, and so listening to the, you know, more recent caller as well as John's comments and, mm-hmm. and Jim's comments and saying, yeah, it's about what kids need and what families need is an engaged father. And what President Levy sort of represents is, you know, a middle-income guy who has a moral compass, and he's giving really clear messages. And if he lost his job, my suspicion is that he would still give the same messages. He would still be there for his kids. He would still be a father. He would just not have the income. And so I think that that's the piece in terms of getting caught up in, I can't provide. All fathers can provide. We may not be able to provide the finances at a particular point in time that we'd like to, but we can provide the love, we can provide the engagement, we can provide the nurturing. And I think getting those things credit is more important because struggle with our dads is on the loss of love.
I get that. I absolutely get it. Yet, surely that's easier to do when you've got that job. When you're really up against it, things get hard, but you're right. People adapt.
Yeah, we do it. Yeah, we feel better about ourselves when we're employed, when we have a role, and we can feel that in. It is easier, but it's not everything isn't lost when that is lost.
Well, certainly not. Let's get Rich on from Paulet, Vermont. Rich, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm self-employed, sole provider of my family. I have a young 8-year-old daughter. My wife is a stay-at-home mom. And last summer, we were faced with summer out of school with no money, you know, hardly any money. Times were as hard as they've ever been in my life. And we said, okay, what are we gonna do here? And we just decided if it wasn't free or under $10, we weren't gonna do it or couldn't do it. We had more fun last summer than I've ever had in my life, just spending time together, hiking, playing music. We shut off our TV service, discontinued that. Swimming at the lake, playing in the sprinkler, and sometimes just being bored together. And we are so looking forward to another summer like that together without planning fancy vacations or fancy things, things that cost money, just spending time together and having fun. And it makes being a dad a great thing.
Rich, that is a heartening story and sort of American adaptability right there. And I love it, and I'm glad it worked out so well for you. We may have more on that theme. Let me get another. Thank you, Rich. Another Oscar in Spring Grove, Virginia. Oscar, you're on the air.
Hello, Tom.
Hi. What do you know?
very little sometimes.
Yeah, me too.
I do know that I faced a similar situation where I used to run high-rise construction, and my wife had a really good job, and I agreed to transfer and kind of start over. Did that a couple of times, and she moved higher in the company and was able to be a good provider, and I was able to become a stay-at-home dad. But the first 2 years, after not getting a paycheck, I literally just kicked myself because I felt like I could never do enough. There was never enough that, no matter what, it was just wasn't enough. And then after about 2 years, I realized that what I'm doing is more important than any paycheck that I could be bringing home. And I have a relationship with both of my kids that very few dads get to have. And I sometimes feel sorry for my wife because, I mean, she loves what she does, but she was just a traveling person who was a weekend mom. And she missed out on so much. My son learning to walk. But it took me 2 years before I realized that what I'm doing at home is more important than any paycheck.
Well, Oscar, I really appreciate that call. Jim Axelrod, you can hear American culture kind of shifting right under our feet, and Oscar taking 2 years to do it but sticking with it, and now it's all turned around. He's the one, not the mom, but he's the dad with those intimate moments at home that take time and kind of meditative days, and mom is out at work. You know, it's all turned around there, Jim.
That's true, although I do suspect Oscar is still the exception to the rule. We have a generation of American men out there that are running up against this economic difficulty, and it's, again, forcing them to sort of look in the mirror. I was just with a guy this week who was defaulting on his home in Miami, and he said to me, he's a tough guy, a construction worker, and his eyes started to well up and said, I failed. I've absolutely failed. And I think that's still probably more of the rule, and Oscar is a bit more of the exception. And I got to pick up on something that we heard before, and I think Don got to it a little bit about this notion of I'm not providing in a material way for my kids, $100 shoes. Mm-hmm. So what better lesson is there for a father to teach a son or a daughter, then, hey, you want those $100 shoes? Get yourself to McDonald's or get yourself a paper route or get yourself, you know, some job somewhere. I'm good for 40. That's what I can afford. You want to pay the other 60 to get, then go get a job. And these are very important lessons that the economic difficulty and downturn is allowing us to teach our kids. But Tom, it gets back to one important point. Have your own sense of what you want to be as a father and what lessons you want to impart. It's easier to impart them when the sun is shining, but that doesn't mean you can't impart them when the economic clouds are gathering.
Yeah, tough times, maybe good lessons in them. One more here. Adam in Somerville, Massachusetts. Adam, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I just wanted to share something where kind of an observation. My father grew up fairly poor on a dairy farm up in Vermont, and then his father moved the family to Massachusetts, and he became very hardworking, and I think a lot of it was generational. And so when I grew up, we were provided for very well, but I don't think that it instilled in me much of a work ethic when I was younger. But then when he retired, I saw him sort of become the way that I am, and a little more laid back and kind of, you know, gathering the rosebuds. And it was very interesting. And then as I get older, after he passed away, I find myself going to the office, working a lot more, and setting a lot of these expectations and goals for myself. So I think, ultimately, you know, we're all our father's sons. It's just what environment that we're in, and what stage in life that we're in, and we're just often sharing the father-son relationship at a unique time in our development.
Yeah, Adam, I appreciate your call very much. Jim Axelrod, it was 8 years after your father died that this sort of thought came to you to sort of use some of his benchmarks in life, one in particular around the race, to try and reset your own. Did he speak to you even from, you know, beyond the grave?
Yeah,
in a way that helped?
I think I learned more from my father 8 years after he died than I did when he was alive, and that had more to do with me than it did to him. We are our father's sons, and I had so instinctively absorbed the lessons of my father when he was alive in terms of how to go after professional success that as I began to follow in his footsteps, literally, in terms of the way I approached my job, it took me down a path that got him somewhere, but it turned out I didn't want to get to the same place. And so I needed to make a mid-course correction.
And did sort of one stride at a time there, and it's a very affecting story. Donald Levy, what's your advice to fathers who aren't employed on this Father's Day? And how to make the most of it, how to be the best they can be in spite of that?
Well, I think every single one of us, whether you're employed or unemployed, I mean, you have the opportunity to invest in yourself and invest in your relationships. And there's so many ways that you can do that. You know, I'm anxious to read Jim's book because I've, of course, done a lot of work on how sports and seemingly kind of mundane activities provide that avenue to connect with other human beings, even when other forms of communication might not work out. So my advice is to invest. Invest in yourself, invest in your relationships, invest in your kids, you know, and the buds will flower.
Well, let us hope, and the best of luck to all fathers and families listening today. Donald Levy at the Siena College Research Institute, thank you so much for being with us today, Don.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Robert Heasley with Indiana University in Pennsylvania. Thank you, Professor Heasley.
Thanks so much. Take care.
And Jim Axelrod, author of In the Long Run. Thanks for joining us, Jim.
Thank you for having me, Tom.
We'll go out with Ralph McTell. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Laughing out loud in the air so still, and we had had such a long, long, and a happy time. That zigzag.